In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stevens Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and I've got another coolest conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock for your listening pleasure here in Little Stevens Underground Garage. Please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me today is Arto Tamminen, creative force behind the Finnish band The Babblers. The group formed as teenagers in the late 70s, had a debut album in 1980, and by the mid-80s had split up, but beginning 1998 reformed and have been active off and on again since. Their single, You Are the One for Me, is a recent coolest song in the world and out on Big Stir Records. We'll hear some of that now, followed by my chat with Arto on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stevens Underground Garage. This is the Mighty Manfred with you here in Little Stevens Underground Garage. And joining me today for our coolest conversations is singer-songwriter Arto Tamminen, who is also the lead singer and one of two guitarists in the Finnish band The Babblers. Back in May of this year, they released their single, You Are the One for Me, and it's our coolest song in the world this week. Hi, Arto. How are you?
Fine. Thank you.
And you are from Finland. The band is from Finland, correct?
Yes, correct. Here we are up north.
Up north, exactly. Where in Finland are you?
I'm actually in Espoo, which is about 10 kilometers from Helsinki center, so very close to Helsinki.
Oh, well, that's good, because Helsinki is the one city in Finland. I pretty have an idea, pretty good idea of where it is. Okay, yeah. So I can picture you there. So is that where you actually grew up?
Yes. I think we are all... the band was founded here in Tapiola in Espoo, and we are all from this neighborhood, basically, from the original lineup. So,
well, I was seeing that when the debut album What's All About came out, this is like 1980, and I believe you were just around 18 at the time. When did the band actually form?
Yeah, it was very, very funny and an interesting story, because it was formed in 1979, and we were in the studio in 1980 doing our first LP. And actually, when we were in the studio, I was 17, and our drummer Janne Haavisto and another producer, Janne Haavisto was 15, and he has played in like the Cosmonauts and many players. He has been touring the States also. And then Mikko Lankinen from the original lineup, he was a bit older. He was 18.
Oh, and yeah, old guy.
Yes. And then there was a wise old guy called Juha Mieskonen, who was 19. And we were listening to his opinions very carefully, because he was that old. So,
so when I think about, you know, we've talked about when I speak to different artists, and they'll talk about you know, well, I'll ask them about when did they start playing music and things along that nature. What bands did they form early on? But this was one of, this must have been one of the first groups or the first group that you played in or not.
This was basically the first group I ever played in. I had been playing. I played in a folk rock band where we played a Faerborg convention Irish folk music stuff. Mm-hmm. And then in our school there was a very active big band scene. So I was playing in the big bands and in the small kind of jazz groups. And then we were jamming our eyes, ears and eyes off in the Tapiola Club. We had the jam sessions that started at 6 o'clock on Saturday evening and ended up at 6 o'clock in Sunday morning. So we were pretty active at the time. But actually, when I started, how I started play music, I started at the year of, when I was 6 years of age, I started to play cello. So I had some background.
So you started on cello. So your family was very supportive of you exploring music?
Yes. I come from a family of five children, and all of our, and my parents were musical, and they were very supportive. They gave each one of us a chance to start to play an instrument. And my father was singing in the choir, and my mother was playing piano. Mm-hmm. And I was given a chance when I was 5 or 6 years. They asked, what kind of instrument would you like to play? I said, I would like to play trombone. Because I thought it has a beautiful, manly sound to it. Mm-hmm. And then my parents told me that, Arthur, your lungs can't handle it, so you have to choose another instrument. Then I chose cello because it was close to trombone.
You know, I had a cousin, and he was a rather big fellow, and he went off to the high school, and he came home, he was very excited, and he said that he was going to be in the marching band, and his parents were like, "Well, that's great. Where are you going to play?" And he said, "Trombone." The music director says, "My lips are perfect for the trombone." No, excuse me, for the tuba. He said, "The music director said my lips are perfect for the tuba." And his parents were like, "No, you're a pretty big guy. You could probably just carry a tuba." That's probably why he wanted you to play the tuba. But so you start off on the cello. When did you start playing guitar?
When I think I was about 10 years of age, 8 or 10 years. We had a quite big house, and in our basement there was music room, and my older brothers were listening to a lot of 60s stuff, Cream and Hendrix, and a lot of Coltrane jazz, and you name it, and they had some Vox amplifiers and Premier drums, and they were jamming there. And when I was close to 10, I guess, when I got this some kind of measles or whatever children's disease, mm-hmm. I didn't have anything to do, and then I asked my brother said, "What would you like to do?" And I knew that he had an acoustic guitar, made in Russia and terrible to play. I said, "Could I have a try with that guitar?" And he brought to my bed the guitar and showed me a few chords, and that's how I started to play guitar.
Well, there certainly is this Lennon McCartney influence in a lot of your music. You mentioned your brothers and Cream and other things present, but you didn't happen to mention the Beatles, but. When did you start hearing the Beatles, and do you consider that an important influence on your writing?
Of course, they are of massive importance to I guess everyone who were my age at the time. So, I first ran into them in reel tapes. My brother had a. You know, tens of reel tapes, and then they used to record LPs because they were very expensive, and people were circle around the LPs, and everybody would make real tapes out of them. I don't remember us having records, Beatle records at home, but mm-hmm. we had the real tapes, and I listened to them, and I listened to a lot of this Beano album, Eric Clapton Beano album also, and trying to learn to play the guitar and this John Mayall stuff and rhythm and blues stuff. And
let me ask you about this, the term you're using. I want to make sure I understand. When you say real tapes, you mean what I would call reel-to-reel tapes, or do you mean cassette tapes?
The real tapes, the big ones.
The big ones. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
The big ones, the teak, you know, the great yeah. two-track recorders. And I started to do my first demos also to record in the real tapes. And later on, I realized I was using the same techniques that Brian Wilson was used during when he was doing the Pet Sounds, you know, recording to one tape and then recording to another while mixing at the same time yeah. and doing it many times and having all kind of weird echoes. And it was very interesting.
Very cool. So when did you start messing around recording? Was this before the Babblers or...?
Yes. I think when you asked me about the guitar playing, I almost immediately I started to write songs when I was able to take few chords out of the guitar, mm-hmm. then I was started to write songs, some kind of songs anyway. So that was always kind of part of playing guitar. There was kind of trying to learn the Eric Clapton Bluesbreaker stuff, Jimi Hendrix, Cream, and then trying to write songs. They all go together with, you know, playing with guitars. So, and then there was a grand piano there, upright piano. I mean, in that music room, and that's exactly the same piano that we are using in our Psychedelic Circus album.
Oh, cool!
It's the Rhenish. A piano made in Germany that my mother got as a wedding present in 1955. It's still up and running. It's still up and running in my studio.
Oh, very cool.
Every piano track on Psychedelic Circus is played with that one. So I like that song, that sound very much.
So when the Babblers are forming and you know these guys all locally. You get this album out in 1980, What's All About. I saw that a single came out like around 82 after that. And then it seems that nothing happened. So the band split up after that. What caused the band to end? Were you guys just too young?
I think we were too young. And then, you know, young people get hot-headed too easily. Yeah. But we remained great friends ever since. We have been great friends. They are like my best buddies, the guys that we formed the band. And when we regrouped in 1998, actually, me and Janne are the ones from the original lineup. And then
And let me interrupt for just a moment. So Janne, he is the drummer.
Janne Haavisto is the drummer, yes.
Right. So he rejoined you from the original lineup. And yes. These other two fellows who are still playing with you now, how did you get them into the group?
Well, they are actually one of the most used pop rock musicians in Finland. They come from up north from Oulu, which is another town. But they have been playing in all kinds of bands, and everybody would like to use them because they are really, you know, they are multi-instrumentalists and both are excellent drummers, and Pekka Grön, who is playing keyboards and bass in our band, he's also percussionist, and Pikkarainen, Hannu Pikkarainen, the guitar player, is also a producer and a songwriter, and he plays also perfect drums. He plays actually the jazz band. He plays drums in the jazz band, and he's been producing stuff. So they were just guys that you were lucky to have in your band. Everybody would like to have them in your band, and we became very great friends, and And so we have very, very, this group is more than a group. We're a bunch of friends and we do a lot of stuff together. So that's how it happened. But how the band originally happened was that I was writing songs and Janne was 15 years of age, Janne Hagestad. Mm. And then I was playing to Janne a lot of our stuff, and we were playing coffee. We were drinking coffee and playing records and shooting breeze. And then Janne said, then I said to Janne, should we try to play these? Then Janne said, finally you said it. I've been in my mind for a long time that we should form a band. And that's how we got together. So Janne has been there always. And we have decided with Janne that Babblers will be always there as long as Janne plays drums and I play guitar and there are two other fellows.
Very cool. We mentioned Pekka on the bass and Hanu on the guitar, and you guys reform and come up to this 1998 album Like the First Time.
Yes.
So that album opens up with a track, You Are the One for Me. Is that the same recording as our coolest song in the world this week, the single?
It's remastered of that. And basically what happened in 1998 was that I've been I've been in the music business, and I had a few Finnish solo records, and I've been running into a guy called Christian Jernström, who had contacts in Japan. And he liked very much my songs, and he knew that I have a band and this Babblers thing is going on. And he flew to Japan and played the songs there. And they got excited. And when we got a publishing deal there and we got a recording deal there, and actually EMI Japan released the album. And we got four of our songs were in TV commercials in Japan. And You Are the One for Me became some sort of radio hit. And it was also in karaoke. So that was the record that was originally we recorded to the Japanese markets, that was the first thing that was on our mind, and when we went to the studio.
Well, man, the idea of having a song available as a karaoke thing, so people can sing along to in bars, that's pretty cool. That rivals even having a radio hit if you have your song available as a karaoke thing, right?
I can tell you a very interesting story about it, because I played You Are the One for Me for my friend in my friend's wedding in Finland. We two of the guys I was studying at the time, just two of the guys. We played it in trio, not the Babblers guys, but two of the guys just for them in the wedding party. Then years passed, and this friend of mine went with his wife. He went working in Japan. He was working in Nokia. Nokia, they used to make the mobile phones in Nokia office in Tokyo. And he was a director there, and he had some business guys that he was entertaining, and they went to a dinner, and then they went to a karaoke bar to spend the night. And he was drinking beer in the rainy night in Tokyo. And while drinking beer, he was listening. I heard this song somewhere. This was the song that Arthur Pale played in my wedding like 10 years ago or something like that. And he couldn't believe it. And then he called me from the bar and said that, is it true that I heard your song in a Japanese karaoke bar? I said, you're right, man. He didn't know any of it. It was a blast.
Very cool. Well, you guys have a video for the song. Looks like you had a lot of fun making the video.
We had.
And on the wall, there's like a Bo Diddley poster. Do you recall the Bo Diddley poster? I wondered what was actually on the Bo Diddley poster. Do you remember that?
I don't actually remember. It was in the studio. Right. It was in the studio that Janne and his older brother actually owned and ran, and they had a lot of nice stuff there, Bo Diddley stuff and many many surf rock posters and great old Hammond B3 with Leslie and Otari 24 analog tape recorder and a lot of old stuff and good sounding old stuff. So it was fun place to be.
There was that. There's like a jukebox in the video. Yes. Is that jukebox in the same studio?
Yes, that's true. That's there.
Oh yeah, that's very cool. So last year you released Psychedelic Circus.
Yes.
And it's available here in the States from Big Stir Records. Why was there this, why did it take 23 years to come up with a follow-up to Like the First Time? You had other projects going on, or what was the reason for the pause?
Well, there's time for everything. like I mentioned, everybody has been busy.
Yeah.
And the thing that we have been kind of nourishing with the Babblers is that we would like to have it so that there's no kind of pressure and mm-hmm. as free we were freewheeling as possible. So the guys and I we have been busy and the guys been playing records and touring all the time.
Yeah.
And then it just came that you know, now it would be nice to do something together, and it just happened very, very naturally. I just talked with Hanno, the guitar player, and we were remembering the sessions that we don't remember, not a one time that we would have been stuck in one song. So basically everything has been kind of flowing forward, mm-hmm. very, very, very concentrated, very loose, very creative, and things have been progressing has been very kind of easy and natural. So I've been professionally in studios where we have been stuck in some other projects, and they can be really painful. And you know, awful situation. But with this, it's kind of loose. It's creative, and the guys are just so skillful. I was listening to the Like the First Time record for a long time, and I was just listening how the guys played, how the mm-hmm. guys are playing, Janne, Pekka, and Hannu, and it's really creative, really professional, really loose and dynamic and. I remember in those days when we were making the record, those guys were touring. I think they were on the road about 150 or 250 days a year.
Wow!
Plus they were making records, and Janne was producing records like the best-selling records in Finland, rock and roll records. And like J. Karjalainen, who is the main man, like the Willie Nelson of Finland, he has been playing in his band ever uh-huh. since 1980. And they were so experienced and we went to the studio when they had the break in their tours, mm-hmm. and everything was kind of loose and easy, and with no kind of. We didn't try to do anything. We just decided to make a record and just to have fun. And it was really kind of a unique moment when we made that record.
Now, so when you went in to do Psychedelic Circus, did you already have songs that you had demoed ahead of time, or did you guys work on this collaboratively, with the arrangements and so forth when you were in the studio?
this is kind of interesting. I'm skipping with the records now, because like the first time, the title was because we were working like the first time when we were doing like the first time.
Right.
And how did we work in 1980? When we went to the studio, we didn't have any. A list of songs that these are the 10 songs that we are going to record. Mm-hmm. We were playing, we had been practicing some, of course, and yeah. Our producer had heard some of the songs. But then how it worked in the studio, actually, the producer came and said, well, now, what should we record? And then some of us said, hey, let's play this one. Then we played it. Then what should we do second? Let's do this one. okay, let's do that one. So, and in the first record, there was one instance where I, as I told you, I was 17 at the moment. Right. I wrote a song night before, and then when we went to the studio, our producer Tommy Liuhala came and said, "Now, what would be the next one? Next one?" I said, "We should try this one." I started to play the song that I wrote last night before, and then Tommy Liuhala said, "What's that one? What is that?" I said, "It's a song that I wrote yesterday." You know, Warner is paying for the studio. This is no time to, you know, play fool. So let's take one that you've been practicing. I said, "No, I want to try this." And I was stubborn as young guys can be. And actually, we made the record and we recorded it, just me and Janne, just two of us. Mm-hmm. And it became the B-side of the first single, Walking on... what was it called? Walking on Sidewalks. Yes, that kind of disco pop song. But it was I wrote it the night before, and then we made a record out of it. So you ask how did we operate when we did Sagitt of the Circus? It was pretty much the same. you know, Janne was asked me what would be the next song, and then we talked, and I ended up, you know, suggesting some song, and then we started to play it. So basically, that's how it works. And when we were making Sagitt of the Circus, there were a few songs that Hannu and Pekka had never heard before. They heard them first time in the studio.
Well, what about, you know, we're going to go out with one of those tracks, When You Were Growing, off of Psychedelic Circus. So tell me about this song. Was that one that the other two guys had heard before or not?
I think they had heard that one, yes.
And they had heard it. You had made a demo of that one?
Yes.
What do you recall about writing it?
Well, writing I know you heard many stories about how people write songs, and many people have probably said that it's always kind of surprises you how things come together. This is one of the things. I started to play guitar, and the melody came and it was kind of upbeat, fun kind of pop rock. Power pop, although I didn't even know the term power pop at the time when I wrote it. But then the story made the difference to me, because I basically wrote it to my parents, who are now they're already gone, and they had a good life. They both lived in their 90s, so, and I love them very much, and they took care of all of us. And it's when you were growing, it's about the things. I wrote it before they passed away, and I dedicated it to them, and I played it to them. And it's basically the idea that many people are thinking after their parents have gone, that I should have asked something from them. Mm-hmm. I should have asked, what did you do when you were growing? What made you laugh? What made you cry? How did you survive? Just to you know your old folks and learn and to understand them better. So that's how I rolled it. And of course, the most important thing that people are interested in their parents is how did they meet? And that's the last verse of the song. Got to do with telling mother, I'd really like to know what were you doing when he came around. Yeah. So basically that kind of stuff.
Arto, thank you so much for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you.
We're going to give a listen now to that track off Psychedelic Circus. It's The Babblers with When You Were Growing in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Thank you.
just heard a bit of the Babblers doing When You Were Growing, and that track is off their album from last year called Psychedelic Circus, available from Big Stir Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the Babblers frontman, Arto Tamminen, for speaking with me today. Thanks as well to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. Sal Baglio is a longtime fixture on Boston's music scene, beginning in the late 70s with the Stompers and currently with the Amplifier Heads. Next time around, Sal will join me to talk about his career and what's going on currently with the Amplifier Heads. That's your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.